yet some more difficulties that lie before us as a church, as a people, as a nation. But I'm certain and confident that God will see us through. And if not, then it is all still in His will. And that's what we'd like to talk a little bit about this morning. I've thought all week about a message. Brother Ken said that when we're away from each other, we're anxious to see each other, and that is certainly true. And I'm always reminded of the story of Joseph and how that he was separated from his brothers, his family. Cindy, you have my phone, and it's ringing in my ears.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not trying to find. I was trying to tell the poll. When you were going
I love my hearing aids, but my phone rings into my hearing aids, and I gave her my phone so she could follow along, but she didn't bring her Bible, and so, sorry for the distraction, but I can't stand to have it ringing in my ears. But I thought of the story of Joseph and how that he was separated from his brothers for 17 years through no fault of his own, actually through their fault. But the joy that was in his heart as he saw them again after all that time. And so I'd like to take my thought from that lesson of Joseph back in the book of Genesis for background reading. And I may go a little bit into that story just to set the scene for us. But my title of my message is God's Good Purposes. God's good purposes. It's hard for us to sometimes realize when we're going through dark and difficult times that God has a plan and God has a purpose in all things. We may not understand them. Even Jacob, Joseph's father, at one point along the way, he was so discouraged and he didn't know Joseph was alive at this point, but he was so discouraged, he said, "Everything is against me." And this was Jacob. This was the man that God loved and chose to be the father of 12 tribes of Israel. And yet he was discouraged. He said, "All things seem to be against me." And sometimes we think that. And I guess that's due to the fact that we see, as Paul said, through a glass darkly. And I believe part of that means that we don't see clearly. We certainly don't see very far forward. We're limited in space and time, and we relate everything that we see to our environment and what we know. And even those who might have some forward vision, it's hard to see very far ahead. And yet God's plans extend over the whole length of time, from the time that He began creation until the time that He will bring all of this to an end. And so God is not limited by the shortness of time that we have, and yet we tend to measure and think in that way. But God's purposes reach far beyond that, and His timeline stretches much further than ours does. I believe the psalmist said in the 90th Psalm that a day or 1,000 years is a day with God. Now, and he's trying to make a point. The point is that for us, 1,000 years is a long time. Who could begin to imagine what could take place and what could happen in 1,000-year span? But for God, it's just a snap of a finger, or as we might consider a day. And so that becomes important as we look at the dark times that might be around us. And so we're going to pick up a little bit of Joseph's story. But I particularly want to read in the 50th chapter, the 15th verse through the end of the chapter, and then we'll go back and just make some highlights and try to get to our point. It says, "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him.'" Now, you remember the story, how that Joseph was just a young boy. He was the next to the youngest of all the 12 sons, and he was the favorite of his father. And the reason he was the favorite of his father was because his father loved his mother tremendously, and she had died in childbirth of Benjamin, Joseph's younger brother. And so Joseph had a special place in Jacob's heart. And he probably showed some favoritism to them, and the brothers were jealous. And so when he was 17 years old, and the Bible clearly tells us that he was 17 years old, he went out to his brothers who were tending the sheep, and they were angry because that he had had a dream, a couple of dreams actually, from God. And I don't know, maybe Joseph wasn't as wise as he should have been, because he told his brother the dream that he had, and he told his father. And basically, the two dreams were, one of them was that he said he saw the sun and the moon and the stars all bowing down to him. And he didn't understand the interpretation of it, but it certainly made them angry because he was the youngest. And they said, so you think we're going to bow down to you someday? And he had another dream where he saw the sheaves in the field. And him and his brother were all cutting sheaves, and the sheaves that Joseph had cut stood up, and the sheaves that his brother had cut bowed down to his sheaves. And so they were angry with him. And they said, here comes that dreamer who thinks that we're going to bow down to him someday. And so they took him. They devised a plan to kill him. And one of the brothers talked him out of it. And so they ended up selling him to a caravan of Ishmaelites that were going down into Egypt. And so he became a slave. For 20 pieces of silver, he was sold into captivity through no fault of his own, through nothing really that he did, but he was sold into captivity, taken down into Egypt and sold to one of the political leaders in Pharaoh's house. Potiphar was his name. He went into Potiphar's house and he became a servant there. And I'll pick that story up in a moment. And so these brothers were concerned now that their father had passed away that really Joseph was biding his time to get even with them. Now, they think the way that most people think. They consider that everybody else's action is going to be the same as theirs. They didn't understand the heart that Joseph had and the kind of person that he was. And no doubt, had they had an opportunity to get even with somebody that had done to them 17 years earlier, they would have taken that chance. And so they thought little of Joseph. Because they thought Joseph would now seize upon this opportunity to bring revenge upon them. And Joseph's heart was hurt over this. It says, and they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. It hurt him. It hurt him that they would think that he would try to have revenge upon them, and they didn't recognize the love that he had in his heart for them. And so, and when his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we'll just be your servants. They were willing to become slaves to Joseph to spare their own lives. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones, and be comforted, and he comforted them, and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years, and Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon the knees on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you. Listen to that. Joseph said unto his brethren, I'm dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now, well, the point that I want to make without spending too much time on Joseph's background is just simply to remind you that there were many things that happened in Joseph's life that were not of his doing. He went into Potiphar's house. He did well. He served Potiphar for the best that he could. He was a good servant. Potiphar had great trust in him and gave him access to all of his goods, put him over his household, let him have, let him have the checkbook and a blank check to do whatever he wanted to do. And Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph, and Joseph, his integrity was such that he would have no part of it. And when she lied about him, which she did, because he would not submit to her desires, so she wanted to get even. And so she told her husband that Joseph had attacked her, which he didn't. And so the husband had Joseph thrown in prison. Again, here's two things that had happened to Joseph, none of them of his making. And yet it would seem that it was really dark days. I mean, being sold into slavery, taken away from his family. But he come out of that, and God helped him to become outstanding in Potiphar's house. And now he's thrown into prison. And here he is in prison. While he's in prison, again, he doesn't try to get revenge. He doesn't try to get payback. He doesn't become angry or self-centered. He begins to work faithfully, and the jailer, who's in charge of the jail, began to put everything in Joseph's charge. And so before long, here Joseph is running the prison. And you know, what a character that this man had to, in the face of all the things that were happening to him, to still be faithful and honorable in all that he did, and others around him recognized that. And so while he was in the jail, there were two of the Pharaoh's servants. One was a baker and the other was a cupbearer. That they did something to upset Pharaoh, and so Pharaoh threw him in jail. And he really didn't have to have a reason because he was Pharaoh. He could do whatever he wanted. He was kind of like our FBI these days. You know, they just kind of do whatever they want and bring charges against people, sometimes falsely, but they have the power. And so they were thrown in jail, and they were in there, and they both had a dream. They had separate dreams. The cupbearer had a dream, and the baker had a dream, and Joseph was talking to them, and they seemed to be upset, and he said, "Why are you guys upset today?" And they both said, "Well, we both had dreams, and we don't understand what they mean." And Joseph said, "Well, tell me what you said, and maybe God will give me the ability to interpret that for you." So they told him the dreams, and the cupbearer's dream, and I'm not going to go into it, but basically he interpreted the dream for the cupbearer, which said that the Pharaoh is going to restore you back to your position in 3 days from now, and you will once again serve the Pharaoh. And then the baker told him his dream, and he said to the baker, "Pharaoh's going to hang you in 3 days from now." And so in 3 days, it was Pharaoh's birthday. They had a big celebration, and it exactly was carried out, just as Joseph had said. Now, Joseph had said to the cupbearer, he said, "Now, when the Pharaoh restores you, remember me and help me get out of this prison that I'm in." But guess what? The cupbearer forgot all about Joseph, forgot all about him. And so Joseph spent 2 years in that prison. 2 years he spent in that prison. And so after 2 years, Pharaoh had a dream. And actually had two dreams. And in the dream, he dreamed that he saw, coming out of the Nile River, he saw seven fat cows coming out. I mean, they were sleek and they were fat and, you know, they were just healthy cows. And he saw them come up out of the Nile and stand on the bank. And then he saw that there were seven lean, gaunt-looking, ugly, scroungy cows come up out of the Nile River. And the seven gaunt ones ate up the seven fat ones, but they still didn't look any fatter for having consumed them. And he had a similar dream about some sheaves and some things, some corn, some ears of corn. And so he calls in all of the soothsayers and all of the magicians and all of the people who are supposed to be able to interpret dreams. And none of them can interpret the dream. Well, guess what? After the Pharaoh was so concerned about all this, the cupbearer remembered Joseph. And he goes to the Pharaoh and he says, "You know, I haven't done right. He said, I apologize, but there was a man in prison, who a Hebrew, who was able to interpret my dreams. And he told them just right. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph. Joseph comes, and Pharaoh says, I hear that you're able to interpret dreams. And Joseph says, well, not really me. God is able to do that, and sometimes he reveals those things to me. And if he so chooses, if you tell me the dream and God so chooses, I'll reveal to you what he tells me. And so Pharaoh told him both of the dreams, and Joseph's answer was, really, both of the dreams have the same meaning, and here's the meaning. The 7 fat cows that you saw coming up out of the Nile, that will be 7 years of plenty. That the crops will produce tenfold, and there'll be all kinds of plenty, and there'll be all kinds of prosperity in the land. But then, the 7 lean cows that you saw coming out of the Nile, those will be 7 years of famine, and all that done in the 7 years of prosperity, the 7 years of famine will consume. And so Joseph advised him. He said, here's what you need to do. You need to appoint somebody over the management of your affairs so that they can prepare for the 7 lean years that are coming way out there in the future. Well, Pharaoh looks around and he says, well, who's able to do that? And he asked all of his advisors, and they could find nobody that was any more faithful and worthy than Joseph. He's a young man. At this point, he's about 30 years old. He'd been in, the scriptures tell us, he'd been in Egypt for 17 years at this point. And part of it he spent in prison. Part of it he spent as a servant. The Pharaoh takes him and he says, I'm going to put you over everything in the land. The only person in all of Egypt that will be more powerful than you is myself. He gave him his ring and he said, you have charge of everything. And so Joseph set about preparing. He believed God's interpretation of the dream, and so he set about preparing. And he went through all the land of Egypt. He went to every city. He built granaries, and he put a tax upon the people of 1/5 of all of that they produced. He took that. And I'm sure that they were upset, just like we don't like it when we get taxed more. They probably didn't like it, but he was looking out for them because God had revealed to him what was going to happen. And so he took the grain, 1/5 of all that was produced in every city. He built granaries. He built places to store the grain. And he stored it up for 7 years. And sure enough, after the 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine came in, and people began to not have any food. The crops didn't grow. The drought set in. And so all through the land of Egypt, we find that not only just in Egypt, but all the land in that area, including Canaan, where Joseph's family lived, that there was a famine through all of that. They ran out of food, and Joseph began to dispense what was needed to the people. Well, up where his mom, where his dad lived, and where his 11 brothers lived, they ran out of food too. So Jacob says to 10 of his sons, the 10 that were involved in selling Joseph to start with into Egypt, he says to them, take some money. I hear there's grain down in Egypt, and you go down in Egypt and you buy up enough food for us. And so they went, took the money, they went down into Egypt. And so when Joseph saw them coming, he recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. And so as the story goes, and you know, it must be an important story because it takes up 13 chapters. 13 chapters to tell this story in the book of Genesis about Joseph and all of this that happened. It must have been pretty important out of 50 chapters to record 13 of them about the life of Joseph and this whole scenario and all that happened. So it's a pretty important story. But anyway, as all of you I'm sure know, the story is that Joseph recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. And he goes through some various scenarios with them. He accuses them of being spies. He accuses them of trying to find the weakness in the land. Of course, they say that, no, that's not true. We just came down to buy grain. And he said, I don't believe you. I believe you've come down to spy out our weakness because that you want to overthrow our land. And so he put them in jail. Well, they were in jail, and then he devised a plan. And the plan that he devised was that he would keep all of them, or he'd keep one of them and send the rest of them back to their father on one condition, because he had inquired of them. They said, yes, their father was still living, and they had a younger brother who was left at home, because that there were originally 12 sons, they said, that we were originally 12 sons of one man, but one of our brothers is dead, which of course was Joseph. They thought he was dead. At least that was the story they had told their father. And so the youngest son, Benjamin, he said that he stays near to my father because our father would just simply die of heartache and grief if anything happened to Benjamin. So they said, we have a younger brother back home and an old father. Joseph said, okay, I'm going to keep one of you here in jail, and I'm going to find out whether or not your story is true, whether or not that what you're telling me is true, or whether or not you're really spies. He said, if you're telling me the truth, I want you to go back to your father. I want you to bring that younger brother down here. Well, see, that was Joseph's full-blooded brother. The other ones were his half-brothers, but he wanted to see Benjamin. And so he sent them back, and they go back and take the grain back, and there's more in the story in there. I'd encourage you to read. But they go back, and they tell Jacob, well, whoever that over the land of Egypt, the man they called him, who's over all of this, he believes we're spies, and he kept Simeon, who was one of the brothers. He's got him in jail, and he's not going to let him go unless we bring Benjamin down to prove that we have a younger brother. And Jacob said, I'm not sending Benjamin. You've already grieved my heart. I've lost Joseph. Now Simeon is in jail, and you want to take Benjamin? And that's when he makes the comment, all things seem to be against me. And so he won't let them go back. Well, guess what? They use up all the food. Because this famine was going to go on for a long time. They use up all the food. And after the food's all gone, Jacob says, you got to go back down and get more food. And they said, we can't go without Benjamin, because he's already told us that if we come back without our younger brother, that we're going to be considered as a spies, and we'll either be thrown in prison or put to death. So finally, Jacob relents and let Benjamin go with them back down to the land. Well, as they go down, of course, Joseph recognizes them. And through the course of it all, Joseph begins to break down and weep in front of them, tell them who he is, that he's their brother, Joseph, that they sold into bondage. And they didn't believe it at first. And then they become fearful that he was going to do something drastic to them. But he had no intent of that in his heart. What he says to them is that you thought you were doing evil. I read this in the 20th verse. You thought you were doing an evil to me. You intended evil, but God intended good. God knew what was going on. God's timeline. He saw through all of that, and he was going to be able to deliver much people. And so we find out that Joseph sends them back to bring Jacob down and the whole family, and they all come down to Egypt. All 70 of them, and there Joseph provides a place for them to live. Now, that all becomes important when we understand this story, because that we recognize that through it all, God has a plan. God had promised Abraham, I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. He had promised Isaac, I'm going to give you this land up here. He had promised that to Jacob as well. And now here they were down in Egypt. How could God possibly keep his promise? And yet Joseph believed it. Jacob believed it as well. And so here they are. God's plan was to preserve not just them, but many people. All the land of Egypt survived because of Joseph and his wisdom and all that had happened. And so God meant all of this for good. Not for evil, but for good. So he took the evil that was in men's heart and he turned it into good. And Joseph recognized all of this. It was a pretty dark day, I'm certain, when he was sold. It was a dark day when he was in prison. Jacob thought it was a dark day that he had lost his son. And all the joy that was in his heart when he found out that Joseph was still alive. And so the whole family goes down there. And God's plan, who could have thought of this except God? Because God had already told Abraham when he said, I'm going to give you that land. He said, but I can't give it to you right now because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And so we find later on that it was over 400 years. 400 years. 400 years from the time that they went into Egypt before that Moses brought them out and began to take them to the land. Now I want you to think about 400 years. 400 years is a long time. It was 400 years ago that the pilgrims set sail for America. 400 years ago. Now, I want you to think about these people down there in Egypt all this time. And what did Joseph make them promise? Joseph said, I'm telling you that when God takes you out of here, as he said he will, Joseph didn't know how far in the future it was going to be, but he made them promise that when they went, when God delivered them, that they would take his bones with them and that they would bury them in the promised land along with the rest of the family. And so we end this chapter. We end the book of Genesis with Joseph dead and in a coffin and a promise that when that God delivers them, that they will take Joseph's bones with them. And 400 years passed. 400 years passed from the closing of this book of Genesis until you turn the next page into the book of Exodus and you begin to read about the children of Israel living there in Goshen, all that had been provided for them. But in the passing of that 400 years, a lot had happened. The Pharaoh who loved Joseph and was kind to him had died. Other Pharaohs had risen up. And a Pharaoh was now in power who was jealous. And he was scared and afraid of the children of Israel because God's plan was that they might multiply, that they might become strong. And if you put the numbers together and you look at them, you'll find out that the 70 souls that went down into Egypt, God put them in a warm seed bed. And what he did was he made a great nation out of them. And they came out of Egypt over 2 million strong. In 400 years, they had grown and had become strong. They were still a family. They were still a people. But God had to strengthen them so that he might fulfill his promise and he might accomplish his purpose, which all along was to give that land to them and through them to bring in the Savior of the world. God's plan was from the beginning. And when we're in these dark times and it looks like that there can be no daylight, we've got to remember that God's in charge and God has a plan and a purpose in all that he does. We might not understand it any more than Joseph perhaps understood why he was in prison. But he still believed God. He still believed the promise. And so imagine these children of Israel that for 400 years nearly, they kept that coffin of Joseph. They kept that coffin wherever they went. They left Egypt, they carried that coffin with them. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They carried that coffin with them. Many died along the way. We know that that whole generation died along the way. But yet they carried Joseph's coffin with them because Joseph had made them promise. I believe God's promise. And even though we can't see the end from the beginning, I believe that what God said is going to come true. And I want you to take my bones with you. And so there they go through the wilderness carrying that coffin of Joseph just as they had promised him. Generations had passed. All of Joseph's brothers were dead. Their great-grandchildren were no doubt dead in 400 years. But that had all been passed down. And faithfully, they had held on to that promise. And then we can track them through the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. And we can see that at one point, 400 years later, we find that Joshua took the bones of Jacob, of Joseph, that they had carried out of Egypt, and he buried them there in Shechem along with the bones of the rest of the family. See, they were able to see that God meant it for good. All that had happened to them down in Egypt, God meant it for their good, to bring them out that he might fulfill his plan. And his plan was not just for Israel, although they were certainly an important part of it, but there was a bigger plan. They were just a small part, if you will, a bigger part than perhaps some of us, but only a part of God's plan. God's plan was not just for the nation of Israel, but God's plan was for all the people of the world. He had promised Abraham back in the beginning that all the nations of the earth will be blessed in you. How could that happen? How could that happen? It's because that God had a plan to bring a Redeemer into this world that would not just redeem Israel, but would redeem all the nations of the earth. And so we can follow that plan and we can see the evidence of God's good purposes. I'm going to run way out of time. We can see the evidence of God's good purposes along the way. If we follow through the Old Testament, we'll see that it was a dark day. It was a dark day when that Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, come in and took all the young princes from Judah and took them down and put them in captivity in Babylon. And I'm sure that the people that were left there thought, this is the end of us. There'll be nothing left because they've taken all of our leaders and all of our young men and they put them in captivity. Oh, but see, God had a plan. God had a purpose in that. And if we read the book of Daniel, we'll see that purpose. And that purpose was that Daniel rose up, that the three Hebrew children came out of that. And if you read the fourth chapter of the book of Daniel, you'll find that I believe that his purpose was also kindness and goodness toward King Nebuchadnezzar, who had put him in captivity, because Nebuchadnezzar gives his own testimony of how he came to a knowledge of God and how he realized that the God Jehovah was the only God. And so there was good that came out of all of that. And God's plan continued to play out. It continued to work until the fullness of time was come, as it tells us in the book of Galatians, that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, sent into the world, made under the law, born of a woman, that He might redeem them that were under the law. Folks, that's all of us. That's all of Israel. That's all of us. We're all under the law of God, which said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that that chooses evil over good shall die. And so God's plan was playing out. I'm sure that Joseph was not able to see all of that, but he believed God. Those folks in the Old Testament were saved the same as we are today. They believed the promise of God, that God was going to redeem them, that He was going to send someone who was able to redeem them, to restore them to fellowship with Him. And so we find that that God's goodness and His purpose came to pass. Now, before I run out of time, I quickly want to go over to the book of Romans in the 8th chapter. Because that's what the 8th chapter of Romans is all about. It's all about showing us that God has good purposes for humanity. Not just for a certain segment of humanity, but all of humanity. We don't understand the dark days. We don't understand the bad things that happen. Who can understand why this virus is here plaguing us as it is? But I'm convinced that something good will come out of it. It may not be good for our generation. We may lose some along the way. But it will cause those who have knowledge to search through their scientific knowledge. They'll develop vaccines. They may even find a cure for cancer. Because it's always out of adversity. It's always out of darkness that light comes. And so we don't like these dark times. We don't want them, certainly. But we've got to put our trust in God, who's in charge of it all, because He sees further out than we do. He's playing the long game, not the short game. He's playing the long game because He's got a plan that will come to fruition. And we are just players along the way that He utilizes to bring that plan to pass. He utilized Joseph. He utilized Moses. He utilized David. He utilized Daniel. He utilized the apostles. But see, they died. They passed on. I'm sure that the apostle Paul, it was a dark time for Paul when that he got a vision to go over into Macedonia and preach the gospel. And so, no doubt, he would have thought, well, I'm going to go over there and be successful. Where did he end up? He ended up in prison. He ended up beaten. He ended up there in prison in the darkness in chains. And it was a dark time for him. But God had a purpose in that. And that purpose certainly reached to the jailer, who through Paul and Silas singing there and giving testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, he wanted what they had, and he was saved and his family was saved. And so, again, God's purpose is they're good. They're always good toward the human race, if we'll just stop and consider. Now, the dark times come, but they too will pass, and God's plan will come about. I don't know whether any of us will be living when the Lord returns, but I'm convinced He will return. I'm convinced that when, just as God said, that when the iniquity of the Amorites was full, that He would destroy them, and that He would give that land to Jacob and his family, I'm sure that when the last soul that will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation, when that time comes, whenever it is, however how long that it might be, you can be sure that when that happens, God will finish His plan, which is for the Lord to come back for those that are His, to bring judgment upon those who have not trusted in Him, and to burn up this world and all the sin that's in it, and to provide a place for us where that we might be with Him and enjoy our fellowship with Him. That's been His plan. That's the plan of the gospel. That's the plan that Jesus came and told about. That's the plan that the apostles preached about. That's the plan that we preach about. And it's still in effect today. And all of these dark times along the way, they're simply bumps in the road. Because God is looking a lot further down the road than we're able to see. Many of us will be like, I'm not going to go to Romans, it'll take me too long. Many of us will be like Jacob. We'll say, everything is lined up against me. Nothing's working out. I lost my job. I've worked there for 40 years, and now I've lost my job. I don't have income. That may happen, and it won't be good. It's going to happen. This economy is going to be very difficult. Many people are going to suffer. You know, there's an old saying that recession is when your neighbor's out of work, and depression is when you're out of work. I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of people out of work. It's going to take a lot of recovery. It's going to take a lot of effort. Families are going to be affected. Many people are going to turn to drugs. Some are going to turn to alcohol. These things will happen. It's inevitable because of human nature. And I'm not saying that any of it is good. They are dark times our nation will go through. Who could have imagined when the pilgrims set sail 400 years ago on the Mayflower? I believe that was in August of 1620. I looked that up. I don't know that by heart, but I looked that up. It was in August of 1620. I did know it was 1620. That they set sail, and it was December before they arrived here. They could not imagine what was waiting for them. Winter. In a wilderness, and many of them starved, and many of them died of exposure. Difficult times, but God was with them, and through that suffering, He brought upon the face of the earth one of the greatest nations that has ever existed. Prosperity to the people. The people of America have prospered, but it all started out at a very dark time. They came out of persecution and come here for freedom. We enjoy those freedoms today because of the dark times that they went through. And folks, we don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know whether that some of us may have to suffer through this illness, and perhaps it will take us or some of our loved ones. But if out of it somehow the next generation can be spared that, is that not a good thing? That the next generation won't have to suffer what we suffered? That our children or grandchildren might not be exposed to this? And so we have to recognize who's in charge. And we have to recognize that God's plan includes those many dark times that come along the way. But out of those, that God is able to bring many good things to us. I am going to go to one verse in that 8th chapter. A verse that we're all familiar with. In the 28th verse of the 8th chapter of Romans. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to His purpose. God has a purpose. He calls us to Him according to the purpose that He has, which is to be good, to bring good to all of humanity. Not everyone answers that call. Not everyone responds. But I believe in the bottom of my heart that everybody gets that call, but many reject it and turn the other way. But to those of us who responded to that call, God has good intentions toward us. Don't mean we won't have dark times. Don't mean we won't have sorrow. But it does mean that God is in charge and He will see us through. What shall we say then, 31st verse, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And that would be the conclusion that I would leave you with is those who love God will be content with whatever circumstance they find themselves in because they realize that God has a plan and God has a purpose and He's in charge. And even though times might be difficult for us, that God can use those things to bring honor and glory to Himself. That's my message this morning. I didn't even get close to where I wanted to go. I spent too much time on Joseph. But I hope that you'll think about the situation that Joseph was in, how dark the times were, the starvation. And if you listen to the news, and it's already started, many countries are going to go through hunger. There's not going to be enough food. We in America will probably be okay because that we're a wealthy country. But Brother Ken can tell you, after being to Africa, those people live on a day-to-day basis. They live day-to-day. They have, many of them don't have refrigerators or places to store food. And if there's no food available, they'll go hungry. And even Africa, there's places in the world that are worse off than Africa. Starvation will go through the human race. Many will suffer. There'll be great suffering through this thing. Don't think that there won't be, because countries turn on economies, and the economies around the world are being devastated. We don't know yet how bad that it's going to be. I'm thankful that our government and those who are in charge, as best they can, and I believe that they're doing the best they can to try to provide for us, but many will suffer. Had it not been for Joseph, all of Egypt would have died. All of Canaan would have died. Many in the lands round about would have died. And I believe that America will have a hand in helping to provide food for the rest of the world. Through our scientists and those who are seeking a vaccine, it will benefit the rest of the world. And so God means good to all the world out of this. How it all comes about, I have to leave that in God's hand, because He's the one who's in charge. That's my message. I'm going to leave it with you. I trust that you'll think about these things and that your confidence will still be in God, because He is the one that's in charge. Don't focus on the difficulties right now. Try to look beyond them and trust in God. And whatever circumstance that we're in, make the best of those and do what we can. But even be as Joseph was, that even when that he was lied on, he was thrown in prison, his brothers undermined him, he never lost his faith in God. And he made the best out of the circumstances that he was in. And God blessed him for it. I appreciate your attention. Brother Jeff, if you could have a song.